Hello, this is the President. Welcome to the Pulver Cup preview podcast. I'm going to go through the field. I'm going to go through a few bits of information about the day on March 26th, which is approaching very quickly now. It's next Sunday. So kind of just wanted to get this out just for the field, just to get a bit more information on the day. So where do I start? West Sussex. It is a top 50 course in England and the United Kingdom, I should say. It's very highly ranked. It's very highly thought of. It's got a great reputation, but it also kind of goes under the radar. It's a course that I've really wanted to get to for a while now. West Sussex typically do not allow societies at a weekend. So the fact that I've managed to get us playing on a Sunday is pretty unheard of. Like I said, they only host a limited amount of societies per year. And the fact that we are able to get on there on a Sunday on a weekend, I'm really happy with. Dealing with West Sussex, they couldn't have been more helpful or friendly, which is a pleasant change. Some of these top clubs that I kind of come into contact, they can be sometimes a little bit lacking of information or trying to help you or feeling like they want to host you. So, you know, initial contact with West Sussex is they've been great. So this is a course that ideally in the future I do want to come back to in a few years. So building a rapport with them is key. A bit of information about West Sussex. It was founded in 1931. It was designed and constructed by renowned architects Campbell and Hutchison. It was built, the course was laid out over Heathermoor, rising suddenly and surprisingly out of a meadow marshland that is characteristic of Sussex. Just a little bit of information I'm reading off their website. But overall, West Sussex has changed very little since it was constructed. Most notably is the prolific growth of trees, mainly pine and birch, which was planted in the 1930s. In those early days, the course was more of an open heath in character, and the boundaries such as the third tee and the 10th fairway couldn't really be seen for the clubhouse. Besides the inevitable lengthening of many holes with new tees and the sixth hole being changed from a dogleg par 4 to the present formidable straight par 3, the only other significant alteration has been the loss of the bunkers to ever-increasing costs of course maintenance and the inability of machinery to prepare bunkers designed for manual raking. I'm actually reading that. You'll be shocked to hear. But essentially, very little has been done since the course was constructed in 1931. So we're actually playing a course that is pretty much going to be as it was laid out, you know, nearly 100 years ago, which I find the history of these places that we're starting to go to fascinating. I'm probably going to bore people on that. But really happy we're going to West Sussex. It's, you know, very private members club. So just cannot wait. We're playing 18 holes Staberford, I'm going to run this day like a normal event, normal tournament. It will count as an official BJ Tour win. You will get playoffs points towards it. You'll get OWBGR ranking points. There's prizes. There's a cash prize for the first prize. So it's a full BJ Tour tournament. So yeah, really excited to start the year off at somewhere like West Sussex. I'm going to get into the field now. I've done a bit of preparation for this preview. In the past, I've kind of just fucking freewheeled it and just chatted shit and messed things up. So I've tried to actually get a bit of general basic information on the players that are playing, recent form, what I feel like they're going to do. I'm going to start with myself. I'm not going to win. I'm fucking shit. But I had a good year last year. I made the playoffs for the first time since 2018. My last three starts were T6, T5 and T11. So, you know, I'm trending. Do I think I'm going to win? No, I'm not going to win. But I don't know. I feel like ever since I started essentially just having a few drinks and getting pissed up on the day and kind of not worrying about it as much and not taking it as seriously, I've just noticed that I'm kind of a lot freer. And that has resulted in 2 years of better, somewhat better scores and just a tiny bit of a progression. I'm never going to really get down to a low handicap because I don't play enough and I'm probably not naturally talented enough. That's life. So yeah, the field, myself, Danny Slade, Paul Bennett, Joe Parris, Mike Arnott, Ollie Phipps, Josh Heather, Dick Smith, George Vincent, Harry Cripps, Nick Smith, Jack Sampson, Zenos Foster. I apologise if I'm saying that incorrectly. It's a new guy that's starting on tour this year. One of Arnie's mates. And Jamie Smithers, who again is making his BJ tour first full year this year. He's a friend of Danny. But I'll go through each person. So kind of touched on myself. Danny Slade. Danny, you know, he had that breakthrough year back in 2018 when he won the Masters. And he pretty much dominated that year. He had one win, but he just had a lot of good finishes. And he kind of, he hasn't really kicked on since that year. You know, he's kind of had a few decent finishes, but he's not really challenged for anything since he won the Masters at Moor Park back in 2018. I suppose you could say, you know, he's had a child since then. That kind of gets in the way and takes priority. So you kind of, your golf game and how much you're playing. He also runs his own business, so I'm sure that takes up a lot of his time. So Danny's been someone that I thought was going to kick on and win, you know, 2, 3, 4 majors over the next 5 to 10 years, and it just kind of hasn't really worked out. He's someone that is very keen. He loves playing these top courses. You know, Danny, if I'm saying we're going to play somewhere and it's, you know, a bit pricier, a better course, he's always he's always interested and he always wants to play. And that is, you know, that's what I want as a member. I want someone who wants to play these courses, that's not too fucking tight to play these courses, because the vision that I've got with the BGA going forward is we're going to be playing better courses and we're going to go to more exclusive, prestigious clubs. And if you want to do that, then you've got to pay, you've got to get your wallet out. So Danny's last three starts, T12, he had a 22nd and a T20. So not, you know, again, didn't really have anything to shout about last year. But I think, you know, it's a new year. I like Danny to get you know, a top seven place at West Sussex. My dad had a bit of a quieter year last year. Obviously, he won twice in 21. He won the Masters and he also won the playoffs back-to-back. Second time he's done that. Win back-to-back tour titles in his career. So he's had a bit of a, you know, a bit of a cooling off period last year. His last three starts, he came 14th at the playoffs. Came T9 and T11. So, you know, out of all the field, he probably plays... Well, he does play the most. I think his handicap's creeping back up. I can't remember what he said it was currently. But West Sussex is not known for its length. It's quite tight and short. And I think it's only going to be a par 68 off the yellows. So that kind of like fits naturally into my dad's game. You know, obviously he's fucking... He's nearly 70, he's getting on. He's got a massive cock nose. So his length... not of his cock nose, but of his drives, you know, it's what a 67-year-old man is going to be. He's very weak. So this sets up well for him. I really like Dad for a top three finish. You know, I wouldn't be surprised if he wins next Sunday. He's got that consistent game where he typically finds a lot of fairways, and he's pretty accurate, and he can kind of chip his way around and play close to his handicap. So I like Dad. I think he's going to do well. Joe Parris is making his first tour start since last year's TPC, the Players' Championship. He did come T4, which was a solid a solid finish from Joe. He didn't play any more events the rest of the year. He played in the match play events, but in terms of the one day events, you know, the majors, that was his last appearance. So I know, again, obviously he's a reservation events manager at the Berkshire, so he's playing a lot, and he's managed to get his handicap down. I think he's playing off an index of 14 perhaps at the moment, so that shows you he's playing good golf. Again, it's a real, I don't know what Paris is going to turn up. He never really seems to have much confidence when we, you know, when we go back and forth and we talk about his game. You know, his scores indicate and his handicap index indicates that he's, you know, he's playing some good golf, but who, you know, we'll have to wait and see what Paris, if he turns up and he's confident and he gets off to a good start, then who knows. But it's been a long time since Joe's won. You know, he won twice on tour when he first came out. He won the Travelers with me back in 2016, I believe, and then he won the Masters in 2017. You know, that's 6 years ago now. So kind of need to see something from Paris this year. He's had a lot of decent finishes, but he's not really, I think he came runner-up at an Invitational. But yeah, who knows with Paris. Moving on to Arnott, Mike Arnott. Four-time BJ Tour winner, three-time major champion, Grand Slam winner, Invitational champion at the Berkshire last year. You know, Arnott has, since he joined the tour back in 2019, he has just completely taken the tour by storm. You know, he kind of came into a tour that was dominated by Biffin, Jones, you know, Craig O'Shea for a little bit back in 2014 era. But Arnott has, you know, he joined the tour, say, back in 2019, and he's won four times in that space. So, you know, since then, Jones and Biffin, no, Biffin won the 2019 Invitational, didn't he? So since Arnott's joined the tour, Arnott's won four times, okay? And Biffin's won once, and Jones has won zero. So the argument of who, I mean, the numbers speak for themselves. You know, he started off as a 14 handicap when he first joined the tour. He's now at 6, and he won the Invitational as a 7 handicap. You know, he's so consistent. He's just so consistent. You know, you look at his swing, and without being rude, you don't think it's anything special, but he just finds a way to shoot low scores consistently. I think, you know, I put up a tweet on the socials the other day of all his starts, and I think there was only one finish that was outside the top 15. I think he came T23 at last year's Players' Championship at Perfect Lakes. So he's just incredibly consistent. And I mean, going into this, his last three starts, T10, T3, T23. You know, and obviously before that, he won the Invitational at the Berkshire. So he has to be the favourite, Arnie. Gun to my head, Arnott will win. He'll find a way to go around there in 2-3 over, which on his handicap, you know, is 3 under. So he just finds a way. And he kind of feel like when he goes to these better courses, his game just elevates. You know, he's won at Moor Park. He's won at the Berkshire. So he wins at premium big dick venues. You know, Arnott's the favorite, make no mistake about it. We move on to Ollie Phipps. Ollie has come down a lot, his handicap. You know, he started the tour and he was a 28, and he was a genuine 28, you know, and he would hack it around, and you know, I couldn't really see him improving much. But you know, he went through a period back a couple of years ago where he practiced a lot. I think he got a lot of lessons, and he just has improved, and he's, you know, he's kind of steadily progressed. He's kind of, last year, he qualified for the playoffs, but his last three starts were 13th, T6 and T22. So, I mean, it's not terrible, but you just never know what you're going to get with Phipsy. I played with him at Prince's in the 2021 Invitational, and I can't remember, I think he came third. I think he came T3 or might have been T4. And he played really well. And it showed me that he does have potential. So, you know, I like Phipsy for a top 10. but again, who could say? I need to see more sample size, more starts from Phipsy, to kind of form a better opinion of who he actually is on the BJ Tour. Is he going to be someone that is going to progress to finally win a title? Or is he just going to be kind of a journeyman, someone in the middle of the road player? Next is Josh Hever, Squids. Didn't play a great deal last year. He only played one major. He came 27th. He had a fucking stinker. But he's told me he's hungry, he's committed, he's dedicated this year, and he wants to play a full schedule. You know, he's already committed to, I think he might have committed to all three, the first three events. I may be wrong there, but he's definitely playing two out of three. I'd have to check the confirmed field list. I can't remember off the top of my head. You know, Josh is someone I've grown up with for a long time. We used to play at Halifa Boys together until he left. He left and went to Junior Eagles. So that kind of showed me back then loyalty. He also, was on my President's Cup team, and he left to go to Edmunds. So he does, you know, what he lacks in witty banter. No, what he does have in witty banter, he lacks in loyalty. He's a frequent messenger in the BGA chat, often with obscene and X-rated stickers of my dad and myself. Which have been photoshopped, I can confirm. But is Squid going to win? No, he's not going to win. He ain't going to win. He's been cut to 18. He was trying to hide his handicap. So there's just a lot of controversy around Josh at the moment. But he ain't going to win. He's not going to win. I think he'll get here. I think he'll come 10th, 11th, 12th, something like that. Move on to Dick Smith. Dick Smith, I tell you what, he just quietly, just stacked up a really solid year last year. And I don't think anyone, including myself, realised, you know, when I was typing up the recent form. And his last three starts, he had a T2 at the playoffs. He nearly won. He was one shot out of a playoff. He had T12 and a T8. Like, fucking hell. You know, Dick Smith is someone that's just kind of blasé, doesn't take himself too seriously, but when I saw them results, he's someone that I think is trending towards a win. I really think he's trending towards a win, and you know, it's a limited field, 14. This is a great opportunity to get a BJ Tour win, to start your season off with a lot of playoff points, with a lot of ranking points. It just sets you up perfectly, and I think I really fancy Dick Smith for a high finish. You know, I like him. I think he's going to come top three. I wouldn't be surprised if he wins. Moving on to George Vincent. George joined the tour back in, was it 2018? 2018 or 2019? 2019, I think. He won on debut, won the Travellers, CJP Travellers with Craig Martin on debut. And since then, he's just been so, a bit like Arnott, without as many wins, but he's just been so consistent, so consistent. He's come runner-up twice in the Invitational and a third in his three Invitational starts. You know, again, he's another person. In the big events, the big venues, he elevates his game. You know, he obviously won the World Match Play last year. He beat Harry Cripps convincingly, really, in the final at the Berkshire. I was there, lucky enough to witness that, and it was just supreme ball striking, consistent ball striking from George. He's someone that takes the tour seriously. He wants to win. He wants to get better. And he has a very repeatable golf swing. You know, he's a 17 handicap golfer. But you see him, when I played with him last year, when he won the World Match Play at the Berkshire, it was just a very repeatable, sustainable golf swing for a 17 handicapper. And he doesn't really do a lot wrong. You know, you can see why he is so consistent. You know, he won the World Match Play. He had a T4 last year, a T3 at the Invitational. George needs to win a major this year. You know, he's got two BGA Tour wins. He's won the Travellers. He's won the World Match Play. He's come close. You know, he's played three, like I said earlier, he's played three Invitationals. And he's come runner-up, and third. It's now time for George to win a big dick event. You know, in my opinion, the Polber Cup next Sunday, it's not a major, no, but I tell you what, it is a real big event because of the, you know, the course we're playing at West Sussex. That, it, again, word of the podcast is elevate. That elevates the championship. George needs to win one this year, and a win at West Sussex, that would set up his year perfectly. We move on to Harry Cripps. Obviously, just mentioned him, that George beat him in the World Match Play Final. Cripsy's another one, you know, he's joined the tour, he's been keen, he's been dedicated, he's committed, he's played pretty much every event, he doesn't miss an event, he plays a lot, and he has just trended upwards. You know, he started off slow, he came close at the Masters a couple of years ago, and then he's just progressed, just chipped away at it, you know, and his game, again, it doesn't seem to hit the ball far, but he's another one, like George Vincent. For his handicap, around 20, he has a very repeatable golf swing. And I honestly think in the next 5 years, Cripsy's going to tick off a couple of big wins. You know, he obviously won the playoffs at Kingswood. That was a very impressive performance. I played with him. You know, played very, very solid golf on the back nine to win that. And then he had a runner-up at the World Match Play. So he nearly won two times in 1 year, which obviously not many people have done that. Again, I really like Cripsy. Really like him next Sunday. He's going to get a top five, I think. And again, you know, he would not be surprised if he wins. Moving on to Nick Smith. excuse me. Nick Smith's another one. He's joined the tour a couple of years ago. And I've been so impressed with his commitment. His dedication to the tour. You know, he lives up in Wigan, which, you know, obviously is a shithole. And I think the reason he plays so many BGA Tour events is because it's an opportunity to get out of Wigan. You know, I'm always surprised that he travels down as much. But then when I think about it, I go, oh yeah, he lives in Wigan. So again, Nick's due a win, you know. Is he due a major win? I'm not saying that. But he's due a win. Last three starts, T6, T14, T16. Another consistent player. Obviously won, I believe he won Rookie of the Year a couple of years ago, if I remember. Or did he? Or was that Dan Roberts? I might have just completely fucking fucked that up. But Nick Smith, you know, again, I like him for a top half finish. Very consistent. But he does live in Wigan. Jack Sampson joined the tour last year. Played all three majors. T14, T16, T18. Middle of the road. Is he going to be a journeyman? Does he have it in him to, like I said with Fipsy earlier, to progress to that next tier of player on tour? I'm not sure yet. I haven't got enough sample size of Jack yet, but he's a good golfer. You know, he's a solid 14 handicap. You know, he just previously beat Fipsy 5-3 to progress to the next round of the World Match Play. So he's playing with confidence. He's obviously playing well, from what Fipsy said about how Jack played. He played very good golf. So I don't know what to expect from Jack, but I like his dedication. I like how keen he is. I like, you know, he's someone that's been wanting to play on tour for a few years, I think, and he's got his opportunity and he's made the most of it, and he is playing all the events. He's a committed member. It's exactly what I want. So I'd like to see Jack do well. So yeah, and when I mentioned earlier, I said Zenos Foster's making his debut. I believe he's a member at Burr Hill. Seems a really nice guy. He's obviously good mates with Arnie, and obviously, you know, if Arnie can vouch for you, then that's good enough for me, you know. So he seems like a good guy. Plays at Burr Hill. I think he's a 5-point something index, so very handy, very tidy player. So yeah, looking forward to seeing him make his debut, and then he's committed to the first two majors of the year, so that's perfect. That's what I want as a new member. I want you to commit and then look to exploit them playing opportunities. And that leads us to our last player in the field, but not least, is Jamie Smithers. He did make his BGA Tour debut as such last year at the President's Cup. He partnered Danny Slade. They beat myself and Dickie Smith 5-3, unfortunately, but I was impressed with Jamie's game. 16 handicap, very solid. I think he's got potential to be even lower than that, really. So again, it'll be exciting to see his progress this year and see kind of what he does. But again, he seems very keen. He's committed to the first three events of the year. So excited to see what he does. So that's a brief field recap. I'm not going to bore anyone anymore. Just wanted to keep it brief, give everyone a quick you know, a quick perspective from the president's mind. Really looking forward to next Sunday, West Sussex. We're teeing off at 1:30. I'm asking people to get there for 12:30. And yeah, you know, it's going to be great. So hopefully the weather is okay. It's looking, might be a little bit wet, but I mean, what do you expect? It's end of March. But whatever happens, we're going to have a good day. Someone's going to play well. Someone's going to be the Pulver Cup champion 2023. Thanks, everyone. President is out.